There was a statement here that stood out to me, and for a message title, I guess I'll just give it Atheism and Its Effects on Christianity. Atheism and Its Effects on Christianity. How much does living in a godless society affect you? How much does it affect me? The Bible talks clearly that apostasy will come because of a lack of love for God. And the question has been asked, will God find faith on the earth? And as we look at the dwindling numbers of Christians around the world, in people who have grown up as Christians, I think there's reason for concern. But as you also look at the numbers, recently I believe it was read an article about what is God doing on the earth, or else listen to a sermon, I don't remember which. And it talked about how we look at Christianity and we see churches emptying out, but it also went on to talk about how that around the globe there are masses of people in China and in Muslim countries, Iran, some of the places where people are struggling the most to survive and thrive, that people are coming to God and what God is doing there. Exodus chapter 5, I would like to read verses 1 through 4. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, and this is the phrase I'd like for you to underline in your thoughts, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people go from their works? Get you unto your burdens." I don't know. Are there any pharaohs in your life? I trust not. It's hard for us even to associate ourselves with a situation like this. If you had to go through the Bible and find the atheist, who would you think of? There are several. This is not the only one, but this is probably one of the most extreme statements in the Bible. As you look around at your friends and associates, do you know any atheists? And what do they say about God? Think of a testimony of a man that I relate to that talked about how that he lived a life of anti-God, and as he did his drugs, he would shoot his arm, blaspheming God and the Holy Ghost. And today he's repentant of that. He wonders if God can forgive him for all that he did. Atheism. I believe atheism is represented here in Pharaoh's life. I believe we could say that Pharaoh was the epitome of atheism. He is the perfect illustration of somebody who does not want to recognize God, and yet God put his finger on Pharaoh's life, and Pharaoh again and again resisted him. We know that. We know the story. We will not follow the story through. We could go from scene to scene where Pharaoh denied them their request. One of the things that is interesting is how that Pharaoh does not recognize the Lord. Who is he? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord. Which Pharaoh was this? You know, Moses wrote this and he knew Pharaoh as good as anybody did, right? So which Pharaoh was this? We know there were many Pharaohs. Who can tell me the name of this Pharaoh out of the book of Exodus? I don't see anybody. Why? Because his name is not in the book of Exodus. And there are many people theorizing over which one it was. Bible scholars, some think they have it figured out. But I don't know that we know for sure. The Bible does not say. And so it's interesting that a man who would not recognize God doesn't seem like God recognized him for who he was either. It's just kind of an interesting point. Atheistic, defiant Pharaoh's denial of God. I'd like to make several points about Pharaoh. One of the things that you realize is that, understand that in Egyptian culture, pharaohs were considered the god king. Pharaohs had many gods, and one of the gods was Pharaoh. And I believe that is one of the reasons that he did not want to recognize God, because he considered himself to be the highest authority. And I believe that's true of all atheists. That's the reason that they don't want to recognize God, because they want to stand in defiance of God. One of the things that we understand as humans is that we recognize other humans, and we recognize the authority of other humans. And if everyone else is on the same level as us, then we can either take their word or leave it. And as soon as we recognize a higher power, we realize that we're under that authority of that higher power. And that is what Pharaoh did not want to do, is to recognize a higher authority that Moses and Aaron were calling him to. They will recognize humanity, but atheists will not recognize a higher authority. And so here we have Pharaoh poking his finger into the eye of God, we could say. As a point, and I know this is pretty wordy, but I was taking the thought of defiant and atheistic Pharaoh denied God in each of these, and for the first one had considered himself as the highest, and considered himself as the highest. Secondly, defiant and atheistic Pharaoh denied God, and look at what he did. As we read through the story, and we won't take the time to read the verses, but he demanded, I should have looked up exactly how to say the word, but infanticide. He wanted to kill all the babies. Why? To suit his personal agenda. He had a problem. The Israelites were getting too powerful. We see he took the path of an atheist. He had no respect, no regard for human life. None whatsoever. And so he assigned the midwives with the assignment to kill the baby boys at birth. And then that didn't work. And so he said, drown them. All steps of atheism. We know that as Christians, we cannot take that path. We have a different attitude toward children and toward the sacredness of human life, whether it's the young or the old. We need to regard them in high respect. From conception to old age, there's a healthy respect for the sanctity of human life within the Christian realm. I like to think about atheism, and it's, as you think about these things, think about its effects on our lives. As you back up now to Exodus chapter 1, it's interesting to me in verse 9, that as he thought about this, in verse 10, okay, he says I'll just read verses 8 and the next few verses. And there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass, when there falleth out any war, that they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. And so then he assigned taskmasters and burdens and wanted to use them as his servants. One of the things that impressed me is that he was seeking wisdom in verse 10. Come, let us deal wisely. And what was the wisdom that he came up with? The wisdom of earthly man, obviously, was very faulty. But he wanted to be sure that they were not going to fight with the enemies and to defeat them, and so he afflicted them and set taskmasters over them. But the wisdom was obviously not God's counsel, and it was foolishness. You know, if he wanted them to be on their side, he should have respected them and treated them kindly. He should have done good things for them, and through that, he would have gained their loyalty, and then they would have been on his side. But instead, he attempted to destroy them, and we know that his plan did not work. But in the end, his attempt to destroy them destroyed him. Defiant and atheistic Pharaoh's wisdom was not wisdom, but fell flat on its face. We see that throughout this story. Defiant and atheistic Pharaoh denied God and, fourthly, became unreasonable in his demands of others. We notice throughout the story in Exodus 5 that he demanded in his anger that not only do they make the bricks, but now they gather the straw as well. He was very inhumane. And I believe that atheism without God loses all rationale. Why? Because they don't have God to give them proper judgment. And so they don't see life in the proper perspective. They don't value the things that are important in life. I believe that another thing that it was out of line is the importance that Pharaoh put on the production, the importance on the work, and the lack of importance on relationships. And I believe that when God loses his proper place in our life, that things become out of kilter. And we have a society whose values are way out of balance. We also see that this path of defiance and atheism, as he denied God, it put him on a path of self-destruction. Well, that is the extreme illustration of atheism. And I believe that as we look at society, I believe that that's a good illustration of where society is today. This morning, we are not a representation of American society, I don't believe. Of course, we are one of the number, but that's not who we're attempting to be. But I'd like to move on just a little bit to Hebrews chapter 3. And look at how the Israelites, and I believe the Israelites are supposed to be more of a representation of the church, a representation of God's people, and yet we know that they struggled. They were a struggling people. As God attempted to deliver them from Egypt, again and again they went back to Egypt, and he uses that for a lesson for us as Christians. And he has some things that he draws as parallels, things that we should learn. And I'd like to just look at that briefly. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation, in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of atheism, unbelief. I know atheism is to the extreme, but unbelief, I believe, is a parallel word. In departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all came out of Egypt by Moses, but with some was he grieved 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? and to whom he sware that he should not enter into his, that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And I don't know about you, but I believe that as I struggle through life, I have to realize that there are parallels between my responses and the Israelites' response to God. Just read to you two different passages about their experience. One is on when Moses was up on Mount Sinai and they were waiting. Where had he gone? When was he coming back? What was God telling him? Why are we here? Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto him, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and he fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What had they just done? And of course we know the anger of the Lord was kindled against them because of it. Numbers 11, verse 4, And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. You know, at first they were so impressed with the manna that God had given them and the marvelous way that it came and the blessing that it was. But as they had it from day to day, they became dissatisfied and they fell to complaining and to grumbling. They were not satisfied with what God had done for them. What about you and I this morning? Are we satisfied with where God has put us in life? Or are we struggling? Are we complaining? You know, they had barely gotten out of the land of Egypt when here came Pharaoh chasing them. And what did they have? They had a lot of fear and anxiety. What was going to happen? It'd be interesting to have a raise of hands. How many of you live with fear and anxiety? What is it based on? What are you looking at that causes fear and anxiety? And we realize how close we are, first of all, to the Israelites, and secondly, how sometimes we become all too close to where Pharaoh was. Maybe God is asking us to do something in our life, and we say, God, I can't give you that area. I can't give you that. Maybe he lays his finger on a specific amount of money in our bank account, and we had saved that for something else. God, I can't give you that thing. God, I can't go there. That was Pharaoh's attitude. Maybe shifting gears just a little bit. Feel like I'm kind of jumping over things that should probably be important here in this discussion. But one of the unthinkable things that has happened in the American secular church is how that so many people have gone from church-going Christians to totally losing out with God. I'd just like to read you a few statistics. Atheism's rise in the church. In 2001, the Southern Baptist Convention reported that they are losing between 70 to 88% of their youth. After their freshman year in college, of the Southern Baptist teenagers involved in church youth groups, 70% stopped attending church within 2 years of their high school graduation. The following year, the Southern Baptist Council on Family Life also reported that 88% of their children in the Evangelical Baptist homes leave the church by the age of 18. The Barna Group announced in 2006 that 61% of young adults who were involved in church during their teens were now spiritually disengaged. And the Assemblies of God in 2007 reported that between 50 and 67% of the Assemblies of God young people who attended a non-Christian public or private university will have left the faith 4 years after entering college. Similarly, a study of Lifeway Research came out in 2007 as well, claimed that 70% of students lose their faith in college, and of those, only 35% eventually return. In 2010, Spirituality in Higher Education study found that only 29% of college students regularly attend church after their junior year, down from 52% the year before they enter college. And the second study asked students to indicate their present religious commitment. And they compared the responses of the freshmen who checked the born-again category with the answer that they gave 4 years later when they were seniors. And the answer they found was shocking. On some campuses, those who had checked the born-again box 4 years earlier, as high as 59% of those students no longer described themselves as born again. And so we see on every level throughout the different denominations, there has been a departing. Now, what is the Anabaptist data? And I don't have that for you here this morning. But I know that those numbers are staggering as well, as you think about the large percentage who have left the life of practical obedience to a just believe Christianity, or even the ones who have totally lost their faith in God and live a life that is reprobate. And that percentage is high too, and of course is rising. Why is atheism on the rise among Christianity? I think that's something for us to ponder. I would like to propose to you that atheism and the struggle to continue in the Christian life has always been a challenge. And I believe that there are multiple reasons, but I'd like to propose a few answers to that. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." And I believe that that is the first and foremost reason that atheism is on the rise. Atheism is on the rise among Christianity, number one, because Christianity costs too much. Because Christianity costs too much. You know, if we raise our children and they're not taught practical obedience at home, and self is on the throne of their heart, when they grow up, saying no to the flesh is just too hard. I had to think of the rich young ruler. Jesus said, "Yet lackest thou one thing." And I know for different people it's something different, and it's not always all the same for everybody. But often it's that one thing that people are not willing to give up. Yes, in most other areas I'll give up, but that one thing. And you know, if we keep one area of our heart, after a while that spreads. If we're not willing to have complete surrender, that one thing becomes our entire life, and it will overtake our Christian experience. So I would encourage you this morning, if you're struggling with that one thing, do what it takes and surrender it all. I believe this morning that the love of self deconverts Christians. The love of self deconverts Christians. Atheism is on the rise, secondly, I believe, because of pride. And with pride, obviously, if self is in the way, we're not giving God the recognition that he deserves. Psalm 10, verse 4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Bringing up the wicked and in that verse, the atheist. But what is the problem? Why does he not seek God? Well, first of all, he denies his existence. But I believe that the primary reason that he doesn't seek God is because he's only seeking selfish interests. It says there, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek God. When self is big, God is small. And I believe that that's most of our struggle when we fail to see God in life, because self is big. James 4 brings it out. Through the people who are using opportunity to make money and are not recognizing God. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Of course, that's logical. That's what we all do, right? We set out in a week, we make plans to make money. I believe that that is right and good. It is right to apply ourselves to make money so that we can pay our bills. It's what the Bible teaches. But what's missing in that? He teaches us in verse 15, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And so the question for us this week, as we begin this week today, is God a part of our plans for this week? Is God a part of my plans for this week? If the Lord will. The problem is that too often we let God out of our lives. Did we ask God for any help today? Psalm 39, verse 4, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." God is in full control of our lives, and yet we carry so little influence. There is nothing wrong with planning, but have we given God his part? I believe that pride deconverts Christians. Pride deconverts Christians. If there is pride in our hearts, it will only lead to unbelief and then atheism. Why else is atheism, maybe shifting our view just a little bit, but atheism is on the rise among Christianity because the church refuses to invest in the struggling. Because the church refuses to invest in the struggling. And that's not a blanket statement that all churches are refusing. But I believe many times that as we grow older, we believe that we have our faith and practice down pat. And if somebody comes along that's asking questions, I just witnessed that again this week. Someone came along asking questions, and an older person said, "Quit asking questions. You're creating instability by asking too many questions." You know, we're tempted to call them out, and that's the end of discussion. I don't think that's the Bible way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." I believe the church is built with relationships, not intimidation. Hebrews 3, verse 13, "But exhort one another daily." We read that earlier. But exhort one another, and that means a encouragement in the forward direction. That takes discussion, communication. That takes energy and effort, dialogue one with another. I believe intimidation and lack of compassion deconverts Christians. I believe also, number four, that atheism is on the rise among Christianity because of ignorance from a lack of scriptural teaching and Bible study. Proverbs 29:18, for where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision meaning teaching. And there's a lot of verses that we could look at in the New Testament as well. But the Bible must be taught in its purity. Why? Because it gives clarity to issues and it helps us to make right choices. We could read the rest of Hebrews 13, exhort one another daily. Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Because proper direction gives encouragement to deal with the hard issues and the deception of sin. I believe that ignorance, yes, and like I mentioned, has a number of reasons for ignorance, but ignorance deconverts Christians. Atheism is on the rise among Christianity because Christians are hypocritical. And this is a big one. I just spoke again recently to somebody I've known over the years. And in this case, he was talking about his brother. But his brother went on a path away from God. And it's a story that you'll hear over and over again. They were pastors' children, but the church was full of people who were not converted. And so the preacher preached for the money, and the choir director abused young boys. The youth pastor took advantage of a young girl looking for help, and his list of hypocrisy went on and on. And that's why his brother's not a Christian. And I believe that that is way too common in the churches. So Christ is not for me. Why? Because hypocriticalness deconverts Christians. Hypocrisy. What else? Atheism is on the rise among Christianity because of American prosperity. I thought it was interesting in Proverbs 30, and this is not written by Solomon, but he says, two things have I required of thee. He's speaking to God, I believe. Deny me not before I die. Deny me them not before I die. And he mentions two things. It says, give me not poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Why? Talks about riches. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Get the common question there. Who is the Lord? I believe that atheism is on the rise among Christianity because of American prosperity. Because of American prosperity. We have everything we need, and so we forget that we need God. Trust in money deconverts Christians. Seventhly, atheism is on the rise among Christianity because of the other one mentioned here. It says, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Because of unmet expectations. Because of unmet expectations. My concept of what God should be and what God should do does not transfer into reality. I had to think of Job, and his wife said, you know, in light of all these things, curse God and die. And it seemed like a reasonable response. Why? Because she had unfulfilled expectations. You could let your mind run. What if Job would have done that? What if he'd have hung himself, took his own life, for God allowing those things into his life. And you can only imagine as he died, would have died and been transferred to God, the Almighty Judge. What would have happened? What would that scene have looked like? Oh, the terror to fall into the hands of an angry God. And yet many Christians are taking this path. God, if you're not going to do what I want, then I won't give you what you want either. And even to the extreme of suicide. And I just, as summary of this one, have disillusionment deconverts Christians. Disillusionment. Maybe that's not a word. Maybe I should just use the word disillusion. Disillusion deconverts Christians. But anyway, you get the thought. What else deconverts Christians? For the last one, and I had another one, but I think I'll skip that one. Atheism is on the rise among Christianity because Satan's lies are believable. Because Satan's lies are believable. And I would just like to conclude with that one. Because deception is all around us. And I believe that we are prey to Satan's lies every time we wake up and face another day and rub shoulders with American society. They're making a lot of choices. They have a lot of values that rub off on us. And I believe that our own Christianity is being bombarded with deception. And I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what does God really want for my life? And am I willing to give it? Of course, in summary of that one, Satan's lies deconvert Christians. We know that. Deception will take away our faith. You know, it's unbelievable what people believe. But the truth is that we could become any of those people if we resist God in the small ways of our lives. So I'd just like to challenge us with those thinking, with that thinking this morning, and I think we'll stop with there. There was a number of other points that we could have looked at, but I think that that's enough for us to think about. I believe that every morning we should wake up and pray, God, show us your will today, and pray that he would make his truth clear to us, that as we live in an age of deception and, yes, atheism, that we could stand up and be a light, is my prayer. Let's kneel for prayer.